Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Is Tuttyville open for business?
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Snap, play fake, Foles going to lob it into the left side of the end zone. Diving catch, touchdown, Allen Robinson, touchdown Bears.
Oh, now we got a fight.
They are going at it.
Wims and Gardner Johnson exchanged blows, and Wims wound up and punched him flat out.
I thought they were joking, but...
There's a big pile up and a fight underway right in front of the Bears bench. Javon Wims.
I think when the flag came out, they caught Wims. He's bouncing around as though he's gonna that the flag's gonna be on the Saints. I'm not so sure.
Right in front of the Bears bench, Javon Wims retaliated. That's not going to end well.
Matt, can you tell us what you saw on the Wims fight?
I did not see it. I totally missed it. I was looking down when I heard about it.
Is that like what I've been saying for 3 years about Matt Nagy? I mean, I didn't see it. I was like, of course you were looking at your play sheet. Like, seriously, you're the, and then these people are giving me because he'd be a better head coach. He doesn't even know how to be a head coach.
They're going to go for it here to end the ball game with a minute 40 remaining in a 35-yard drop. Good snap, good hold. Ball game. Saints win it in overtime, 26-23.
Mike Esposito.
Who the hell is he?
On 670 The Score.
Hey, Espo, Google it. And good morning, everybody. Mike Esposito right here at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to Jordan Malley, our producer, for putting that little montage together. And yeah, these two teams have played before, but it's playoff time now. Back in Week 8, it was a overtime Saints win, 26-23. We'll see what happens today. We are here to take you until noon. That is when Hub Arkish and company will join you with the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. Hub, Pat, and Olin will have you from noon until 2:45. Then we will have Bulls and Clippers at 2:45. And then we'll have your Bears postgame. The Score is the place to be right after the game ends. Bears postgame for 2 hours. As soon as the game ends, flip your radio to 670, and we will have that for you. Bears post airs for 90 minutes after that. So we will be Bears wall-to-wall as soon as the game is over. 312-644-6767 is our Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We've got a great show planned for you, and we want to talk to you at 312-644-6767 on that BetQL Score listener line. That is also the text line, so you can get us either way. The text zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at RosenHyundai.com. Here's how we're going to break this down. We've had plenty of Bears and Saints stuff to talk about. We have a ton of that stuff. We will talk to Mark Rohde at 10 o'clock, Bears sideline reporter. Rod Walker covers the Saints for the New Orleans Advocate. We will talk to him at 11. Chris Emma from 670thescore.com will join us during the 11 o'clock hour as well at 11:20 as we break down Bears and Saints. We will also listen in. Saints legend Deuce McAllister was on with Danny Parkins earlier this week on the Parkins Show with Danny and Matt Spiegel. We'll listen in to Deuce at 10:40. Some excellent content there from Deuce McAllister. Marshall Faulk was on as well. We will listen in to the Hall of Fame running back at 9:20. And one little detour, but this is a detour that's worth it. Jay Zawoski will join us at 9:40 to talk about the legacy of Corey Crawford, the Blackhawks goaltender, the former Blackhawks goaltender, if you missed it, announced yesterday that he was retiring from hockey. a huge part of the Blackhawks and the history they made here in the last 10 or 12 years in Chicago with the Blackhawks as the team turned their fortunes around and won three Stanley Cups. They certainly would not have won those three without Corey Crawford. So we'll talk to Jay Zawoski at 9:40 about Crawford and the Blackhawks. So hopefully that all sounds good to you. We want you to participate in our show here as we broadcast live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We were here last Sunday, and I hope you were listening, and I hope you were enjoying. We talked a ton of Bears-Packers leading up to the Bears game. We thought that, at least I thought, I will admit, that they had to win to get in. Now, they were able to get in after losing to the Pack because Arizona lost. But I want to know from you, the Score listener here, how did you view last week's Green Bay game relative to what was at stake? Is this, in other words, is this a team you're confident in, or you have some confidence that they can do it heading into today's game against the Saints? Las Vegas and the bettors, the betting community, they do not feel the Bears have a chance here. The Saints are a 10-point favorite. Khalil Mack and the Bears saying that's disrespectful to them, and they're going to come out and prove it. But that is something that we have not seen, certainly out of that defense, for the near future, or for the recent past, I should say. This is a team, though, you think about this, and this is where I think this game turns. The Bears' defense has struggled in recent weeks. You would have thought, and you did think, and earlier in the season, you remember at the beginning of the season when the Bears got off to that quick start, and you're looking at it, and you're like, well, I don't think they're 5-1 good, but they're 5-1 and we'll take it. A lot of that was because of the defense. I mean, we had the Mitch Trubisky benching. We had the going to Nick Foles. And in fact, the part of that highlights package we listened to coming in, you know, it's Nick Foles at quarterback the last time these two teams met. So totally different Bears offense that the Saints will be prepping for. And as far as the Bears are concerned, I mean, this was a team that, I don't want to say they handled Drew Brees, but it was a high-scoring game, 26-23 in overtime. Brees only threw for 280. Alvin Kamara, 67 yards in the ground, 96 yards through the air. He was the alpha guy for the Saints last time. They did not have Emmanuel Sanders or Michael Thomas in that game, but they will have both today. If you missed this bit of news, and not that any of this is surprising, the Saints activated Alvin Kamara from the COVID list. Michael Thomas activated from IR. He has missed 9 games this season with an ankle injury, and he has not played in a month, but he is back for the game today. And in my opinion, Michael Thomas is the best receiver in football when healthy. If you forget, just look at his ridiculous numbers from previous seasons. I know, you know, there's a recency bias to some of this, and I'm a huge fan of Stephon Diggs. I'm a huge fan of DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, you know, name your stud receiver, right? But Michael Thomas is a guy that is at the top of the list, in my opinion. He's going to make a huge difference for New Orleans today. Emmanuel Sanders is back, too. He's been back, but last time the Bears played this team, neither of those guys played. So, new look offense for the Bears as far as the Saints are concerned, because Nick Foles was your quarterback last time. New look offense for New Orleans as far as personnel is concerned, because you have Thomas and Sanders back, and you have Alvin Kamara off of that COVID list. And he's a huge piece of that puzzle for the New Orleans Saints. 312-644-6767 is our number. If you'd like to chime in, how do you feel the Bears compete in this game? We saw last week that they came out and they ran the ball. That first drive, I know I was feeling great after it when the Bears marched down and got a touchdown, a 14-play drive, I want to say off the top of my head. But lots of David Montgomery, lots of moving the chains, lots of time off the clock. Green Bay then did the exact same thing, unfortunately. And the entire first quarter was one drive Chicago, one drive Green Bay. They clearly were trying to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. That only worked for so long. before Green Bay broke that one open. I'm curious to see how they attack New Orleans this week. And by attack, I mean that in strategy as well, because Drew Brees is not the Drew Brees of 10 years ago or the Drew Brees when he was here last in the NFC Championship game back during the Bears Super Bowl season in January of 2007. That was a game the Bears won. We'll talk a little bit about that, have a little fun with Bears' recent playoff pasts. But despite, you know, the arm strength maybe being a little weaker, Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer, you know, first ballot, whatever you want to call it, over 80,000 passing yards in his career. He was drafted. This is Drew Brees. This will be his, or this is his, pardon me, 19th season. If he plays one more, good old number, or good old 20 will happen. And I thought this, we were actually talking about this last night watching the game. With Tom Brady playing Washington, I mean, what Tom Brady is doing at almost 44 years of age is just absolutely ridiculous. But you watch some of Brady last night, and that's what you're going to get with Brees as well. And actually, you know what? That's what you got with Rodgers too. And that's what makes Rodgers and Brady and Brees particularly deadly. They are 100% accurate. I shouldn't say 100%. They are overall extremely accurate. You know, where we might get on Mitch for missing a throw by a yard or two, or not putting it in the exact right position for the receiver to catch it. That is what you see. We saw a bunch of that with Brady last night. We saw a ton of it with Rodgers last week. I mean, that 72-yard touchdown to MVS on the Bears blitz. That ball, I mean, Valdez-Scantling did not have to break stride. He did not have to do anything except stick his hands up and catch it. That is why Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer and why the Bears, after 4 years of Mitch, have a decision to make at quarterback. Because that's what you need. And that's the reason when Ryan Pace traded up to draft Mitch, that's the reason he gave. Is that, you know, one of the things they loved about Mitch was his accuracy. Well, we have seen that that is not the case. It's very come and go. And in the NFL, at the most important position on the team, it can't be a 50-50 proposition. But anyway, I digress with all that. The reason I started talking about that is Drew Brees. But Drew Brees is the quintessential quarterback of putting the ball exactly where it needs to be. He is also one of the guys, like Rodgers, he knows where everybody's at, he knows where all of his options are, and he goes through his progressions, he runs the offense, he's extremely intelligent, and he manages that offense. That, to me, is the biggest difficulty that the Bears D will have today is that, listen, Drew Brees is 42 or whatever years old he is. The guy has been in New Orleans for, this is his 15th season there. He knows the offense like the back of his hand. Sean Payton and Brees have this relationship going back all these years. In fact, I have a stat here. It's just amazing. Here it is. And, you know, Bears fans will groan as they're driving down the street here listening to this. But since that NFC title game, which was January 21st, 2007, the Bears crushed the Saints that day, 39-14. That was to advance to the Super Bowl to take on the Colts. But my point being, that was Drew Brees and Sean Payton. That was 14 years ago. The Bears have had 14 starting quarterbacks and 4 head coaches since then. And the Saints, barring injuries to Drew Brees, have had Drew Brees and Sean Payton. So it's been quite a ride for those two in New Orleans, and it's been quite a rocky ride at times for your Chicago Bears with their 5, and now this will be playoff appearance number 6 of the 2000s. Previously, the Bears had only gotten in as division champs, and what they are now is a wild card team. And this has not happened since the 1994 season when Dave Wanstead was the head coach and the Bears went up to Minneapolis, the old Hump Dome, and beat the Vikings in the wild card game behind Steve Walsh back in, I think it was New Year's Day 1995. Anyway, my point being, this is the Bears' first wild card appearance in 25 years. And we'll see how it works out. As I mentioned, the odds makers do not like the Bears at all in this one. 10-point favorites. Matt Nagy says, you know, Mitch is a different Mitch since he came back. He's trustworthy. He trusts him more now than he ever did. And we'll see how this materializes. A texter from the 232 mentions, and I'm going to get to this too, and this is a fantastic point, is that Roger had three INTs that... Absolutely. And that is exactly where the Bears need to get to Drew Brees today. I mean, it all ties together with getting pressure on Brees and making him uncomfortable back there. But in terms of turnovers, you know, the Bears have only 10 interceptions on the whole season and 16 takeaways. If you remember back to 2018, this was a team that lived and thrived because of those turnovers and points off turnovers. Eddie Jackson, and I love Eddie Jackson as a player, got a huge deal in the offseason. This has not been Eddie Jackson's best season. Robert Quinn, free agent signee, got a huge two-year guaranteed deal in the offseason to come with the Bears to be the other the bookend to Khalil Mack in that pass rush. Robert Quinn is a Pro Bowl player. Robert Quinn has had a bad season. He'd be the first one to tell you that. Khalil Mack, Pro Bowl player. Also, though, you can say that and also say this has not been his best season, right? I mean, he's been good, but he was not 2018 Khalil. So can the Bears defense flip that around and get to Drew Brees today? We'll be talking about that throughout the show today. Lots of fun coming up as we preview Bears and Saints. Again, I mentioned we'll take a quick Corey Crawford interlude at 9:40 with Jay Zawoski as Crow has retired, put out a statement yesterday, tons of love coming from his teammates. We want to talk a little bit about Corey Crawford and his legacy with the Blackhawks with Jay Zawoski at 9:40. Outside of that, we are 100% Bears and Saints. When we come back, we will listen to Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. He talked to Danny Parkins earlier this week, Faulk on Bears, Saints, and other things. It was a great, fun interview. We'll get to bits of that coming up next. You've got Mike Esposito right here on 670 The Score.
I would only enjoy being slimed if we won, and I would be willing to be slimed if we won, whatever that means.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
There's a lot of other teams right now that are trying to figure out their flights home today, and we're not. So I think that that's, again, something that we're going to build off of and we're proud of.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy is right. The Bears have a chance. They are in the playoffs. They are going up against the Saints with a 3:40 kick right here today, the game in New Orleans. And I'm reminded of one of my favorite movies, Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance. Yes, we are, Matt Nagy. We are saying there's a chance that you and the Bears can beat the Saints today. We'll talk about that throughout the show. Also, reminder, 670 The Score and Camp One Step have teamed up with Deep Dish Tees to give you a chance to purchase your own Score neck gaiter. They're extremely cool. They're available now for $20 online at 670thescore.com/masks. 100% of the proceeds, every last penny, will benefit Camp One Step by Children's Oncology Services. To learn more, visit to learn more about Camp One Step, go to camponestep.org. And the Score Gator, you can see some of them on Twitter. I saw our friend Chris Tannehill wearing his. He had tweeted that out the other day. They're cool. We need to wear them, so you may as well head on and get one at 670thescore.com/masks. As we break down the Bears and the Saints earlier this week, Hall of Fame running back Marshall Faulk joined the Danny Parkins afternoon show.
From 1999 to 2001, St. Louis was the center of the football universe, thanks to an explosive offense that revolutionized the NFL.
This place is going crazy!
Initially called the greatest show on earth, their nickname morphed a few weeks later when ESPN anchor Chris Berman called them the greatest show on turf.
The St. Louis Rams, they have gone from dreadful to dominant seemingly overnight.
Running through the pack like Marshall Faulk.
Give the ball to number 28, Marshall Faulk, hand it to him, throw it to him.
It's tough going from the projects to the penthouse. Just a couple of lessons that I've learned throughout my journey. My first piece of advice to live life, don't let life live you.
And Warner looking for Faulk. Chased, grabbed, touchdown, out of the window. Oh, my, to Marshall Faulk.
Faulk to the 20. Faulk at the 10, he's going to score.
After he catches that ball, he just explodes. And, you know, I mean, there's missed tackles, but Marshall Faulk makes you miss tackles.
He just steps out of your hands and arms.
I'd love to say it's the line here, but this is all Marshall Faulk. It's all bunged up right there in the middle. Watch him. There's all kinds of bodies. Little shake here, dance here, make a guy miss, come up, cut back across field.
Next, my father told me this. If you ever traveled on a road and no speed bumps, you're headed for a dead end. Life's a challenge.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
God gave me talent. Football gave me an opportunity. I made the commitment. Thank you all.
The Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Thrilled to be joined by our next guest on behalf of Bet Online, the man who earlier in the show, Olin Krutz, called the most versatile back in the history of professional football. With Matt Spiegel in on the Danny Parkin Show, Marshall Faulk joins us on the Alphamonte Nissan Hotline, Alphamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. Marshall, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. How you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you, Marshall.
We're doing very well. And, you know, earlier in the week, thought you were just the perfect person to have on to talk to Bears fans this week, because I think that they're going up against, on Sunday, it looks like Alvin Kamara is going to play, the most versatile running back in the NFL today in terms of a runner and a receiver, which is certainly what you were in your time. So I'm wondering, what gave you problems? Not much did, based on your production, but like, when defenses did what, were they able to slow you down effectively?
You know, that's a great question, and I'll be honest with you. It was never the defense. It was maybe my offensive line weren't playing, you know, on that string, playing together, or maybe the coach. You know, sometimes the coach, they get in pass happy, and they don't give you enough touches. Or they decide to use you in a different way. And those are the things that kind of get you out. Outside things don't really bother you. And if you watch Alvin Kamara, outside things don't bother him. When they hand him the ball, guess what? He runs with it. They throw it to him, he gets out of the positive yards. The only thing that stops him is when they don't go to him.
Well, that's not great for the Bears' chances of slowing him down, I'll be honest with you. That's not that encouraging, because the Bears also are going to be without Roquan Smith, potentially. He's listed as questionable, but he hasn't practiced all week. But you're saying, like, that doesn't matter? Like, whether he's there or not, that doesn't matter for Alvin Kamara?
Nah, that doesn't matter. And I'm going to tell you what really, and not just me, but as an offensive unit, when you have an offense that's high power, even like the Saints, the more points your offense scores, it puts them in a position to have to score. Now, we like scoring. Offenses that score, we like scoring. But when the other team offense is scoring, you feel like you have to keep up. Those type of things start to creep in, especially when it's a team that, you know, we're not used to them scoring that much. If this offense can come out and sustain some drives, I'm talking about, you know, 10, 12-play drives, and not kick field. You can't kick field goals against them. You have to score touchdowns. You know, it plays out a little different. I promise you, it plays out a little different.
And Marshall, when you knew that an opposing team's linebacker was either out or weak, like there was, did you ever attack a certain spot? Like if you were going out there to go put yourself in the flat, did you ever move towards, you know, knowing a guy was not there or was hurt, and you were probably going to have an advantage even more so than normal?
If there was a young guy in, I studied him. I just wanted to make sure that that his assignment and his alignment was his most important thing, or did he just want to hit Marshall Faulk? You know, you got to try to bait him in. You got to take advantage of the youth. And in a game of his magnitude, youth can it'll get you in trouble. So yes, you try to take advantage of it. An older guy, you want to overload him. A younger guy, you want to bait him in. But you can't get caught up in that game and not play your game.
We're talking to the Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk here on The Score on behalf of Bet Online. Is my comp valid? Like, do you see yourself in Alvin Kamara?
Oh yes, I see a lot of my game in him. Obviously he's taking it, and I say this because they're supposed to. These guys, they're supposed to take it to another level. You're supposed to take it beyond where I took it because I already pushed the envelope, and I believe that they are, and I say they because I believe there's a lot of backs that's trying to become this back. The two that we most watch, Kamara and McCaffrey, are the two that really, you know, they play the part well. But I'm just saying he's special, man. And I think that Sean Payton does a really good job at putting him in positions for him to be successful.
What are those positions? Like when you see what the Saints do with him, when are the times or the plays or the situations, whatever it may be, where you're not in your head like, yep, that's using him correctly?
Yeah. So what they do is they try to get you isolated. They try to isolate to where you can't take a defensive end and put him on and take a defensive end and ship him so he can help out the linebacker, or try to widen him so he can help out the linebacker when they're showing obvious man. Teams like to do that. And then this is with Sean, what I've noticed that when they play teams that decide, you know what, the heck with it, I'm going to put we're putting our nickel back in here. They put him in the queue and they run the ball. It's like that nickelback cannot hold up like a linebacker. So they do different things. Those little things make it tough for a defensive coordinator to call plays and to defend things. It's like, oh, okay. So when they get in this set and they bring out these people, they normally throw the ball to him, but they're willing to line up and run it down our throats. Oh man, what are we gonna do here?
Hey, Marshall, what would The Greatest Show on Turf be doing right now in this NFL with the way that the rules now benefit offense and the way that the game is officiated? Do you think you guys would be even more explosive today?
I mean, I don't want to speculate, but our team in today's league, I mean, we'd be a better version of Kansas City and what they look like.
A better version of Kansas. They look pretty good. They look pretty good, Marshall, but you guys would be better.
I'm just saying. You asked me a question. I'm just telling you. We'd be a better version of Kansas City.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Can't argue.
I mean, I could argue because, like, you know, Kurt was amazing. I don't know that he was quite Pat Mahomes, but, I mean, who am I to argue with Marshall Faulk? Like, no disrespect, but, like.
Well. It's not like Kareem Hunt or Clyde Edwards-Helaire could hold a candle to Marshall Faulk.
That's true.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is when you guys start doing this, and I've heard, you know, because, you know, I do a bunch of these. I always remind people of this. Just remember this. There's not a question if Kurt Warner could have played in this league. The question is, could Pat Mahomes have played when Kurt played, when quarterbacks actually got hit? Different question. We know Kirk can play in this league.
Do you doubt that Mahomes could have played in your time?
I'm not doubting if he could play. The question is, could he have played and endured what the Kurt Warners stood and took, the Ben Roethlisbergers? I'm just telling you, because those guys, they're still, Tom Brady's still looking like he's 35 out there right now.
It is certainly an easier league to play in. We're talking to Marshall Faulk here on behalf of BetOnline.net. You're from New Orleans, and I was reading, is this right? You sold popcorn at Saints games in the Superdome growing up? Is that true?
Yep. True story.
So how do you
True
end
story.
Up – so first of all, what was that like? Like, was that influential on you?
I couldn't afford a ticket, so – that's how I got in the stadium, made a little money, and then watched a little football.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like being around professional football in that way, I was wondering if that had any impact on your love of the game in any way.
I don't know. I don't know, because at that point in time, I was just a fan. Like, I was a football fan. I am a football fan. It wasn't about, and I'm being honest with you, it wasn't about me more or less playing. I just enjoy football, and I was like, this is the closest I can get to a game. And you got to remember, we didn't have that many fans at the time. Man, we were the eighth. Like, people had bags on their heads and stuff like that.
Right.
Fans wasn't full. So, there wasn't many concessions being sold.
So yeah, you had plenty of time to watch the game instead of selling the popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you like not go to LSU? Like, how does Marshall Faulk get out of Louisiana to go to San Diego State when you're this all-time player in this great football state?
You know, every once in a while, people that evaluate talent, they mess up. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that.
Yes, we are.
We know nothing about that as Bears fans, Marshall. Yeah, we have no idea what you're talking about.
Drafted Mitch Trubisky in this town, but go ahead, yes.
Right. And, you know, people saw me as a defensive back, and that's all they saw me as. They didn't take the time to watch me as a runner because I play receiver, quarterback, running back on offense, and I was a return guy. They just didn't take the time. So all of those experts, recruiters and stuff like that, you know, they felt that I was better at playing defense and back, but I knew what I wanted to play. And lo and behold, after the whole fiasco with me going to San Diego State and, you know, going to the NFL, this position called athlete was created, because if you played multiple positions, you often got knocked. They didn't know where to play you. So guys that played quarterback wouldn't want to play any other position because they didn't want teams to look at them different.
See, that's interesting. So go ahead. Sorry, Marshall.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So do you consider yourself like the first or one of the first of guys, like, you know, whether it's Percy Harvin or, you know, all these different guys who just kind of didn't have a position, end up getting used all over the field? We've got Cordarrelle Patterson, who gets used all over the field in this town now.
Well, there's a difference in getting used, and how do I say this? And, you know, like, I play different positions because my team needed me to. Mm-hmm. The position I played wasn't a problem for me. Like, I don't know what Cordarrelle's or Percy, but I didn't see them master the art of receiver and then move around. So I'm talking about something totally different. You know, it's the willingness of people never paid attention to Troy Brown. You know, Troy Brown was a slot receiver, played DB. Like, what? Return punts and kicks. Belichick lined the man up on defense.
It's certainly a different game in terms of people using it, and like you said, the athlete position. Olin Krutz said that you were the best all-around running back that had ever played, and a lot of Bears fans heard that and was like, whoa, 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 what about our guy Walter Payton? How do you regard yourself in that category among the all-time greats?
I think Walter was a guy who played all around, but he didn't play it. My bad. The game hadn't evolved to where a running back lining up as receiver was accepted. The game handicapped his ability to show his talent. Could he have been? Could he have? Most definitely, without a doubt. But we would be speculating, because in the passing game, he didn't play the same role that I played in the passing game, evolving and creating mismatches and the things that we did, lining up as either split end, flanker, slot, tight end, and knowing the offense and running everything and having it ran as smoothly as the person whose position it is or was. So do I consider myself the best to do it? You damn right I do. Was there guys who did it? Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah. I mean, Thurman Thomas did it. Ronnie Harmon did it. Roger Craig did it. My guy over in I can't believe I'm drawing the blank on his name, because I watch more film on him than anybody else. And there, Larry Sinners did it.
Larry,
you know,
Sinners.
I mean, these guys. I mean, they caught the football and dispelled the notion of running backs not being able to catch the ball.
But you've got to love that you are the only guy in NFL history with 12,000 or more rushing yards and 6,000 or more receiving yards. You are one of one, Marshall Faulk.
I mean, you know, we'll see how long that lasts. With today's game and how things are going, I'm going to have some company.
Maybe. It's possible.
I'm hoping I do. I mean, because you want company, because when you get company, then it brings attention to the actual seat.
Love listening to Marshall Faulk, the Hall of Famer, on earlier this week on the Parkin Show with Danny and Spiegs. We will continue to break down Bears Saints and talk about the NFL playoffs at 10 o'clock. Mark Rohde will join us. But coming up next, I mentioned a brief detour. It is that time now. We will do this moments from now after the break. Jay Zawoski will join us to talk about the legacy of now retired Blackhawks goalie Corey Crawford. That's coming up next right here on 670 The Score.
Go Bears!
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
We're going to party. Party? The boys are going to party tonight.
Always enjoyed the post-Stanley Cup championship rallies and comments. And all of the various media appearances by the Blackhawks. That music means we're going to talk Blackhawks for this segment. I mentioned before the break, Corey Crawford yesterday announced his retirement. He had signed with New Jersey but never played a game with the Devils, so he's a time Blackhawker. And to talk about the legacy of our friend Corey Crawford, let's head out to the Alpamonte Nissan hotline. Alpamonte Nissan is in Melrose Park on North Avenue. You could also visit apnissan.com. We find our colleague and friend Jay Zawoski joins us. Hey, Jay, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Espo. How's it going?
It's going good. Thanks, my friend, for joining us. And a bittersweet day, I know, for you and for hockey fans across town here, as Corey Crawford, certainly a beloved Blackhawk, and you know, it looked like he was going to continue on outside of Chicago, but, you know, for vague reasons, although we can surmise, you know, health probably a bit of it, Corey Crawford decided to hang him up yesterday.
Yeah, and it is, it's always dangerous to speculate on what these things could be. And I found it interesting in his statement that he said he thought he could still play, but decided to not. But we know his history. He's been through a bunch of concussions. And I think there's probably some factor to it of, you know, the shock of not playing with the Blackhawks, you know, that, yep, that whole thing that he probably expected to get done, then it falls through, and then he suddenly very quickly signed with the New Jersey Devils. And I think a lot of people, when we're thinking like, all right, what makes sense for Corey Crawford? New Jersey wasn't one of the places that really popped up. I think his wife is from that area. So did that very quickly, then went, reported to camp, and I think, you know, maybe the realization of, you know what, like, to restart this whole thing, to do this all, and again, this is me speculating, starting with a new team, is this really what I want to do at this point in my career? And maybe after some long considerations, long conversations, he decided the best thing to do was to just step away.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what I mean, and listen, this is, as you said, you said it, and I will say it, this is us just speculating and bouncing things off and really talking about Crow and what he meant to the Blackhawks, but after all the health issues he had, the guy made a nice chunk of money over his career. You have to imagine that after the concussions, and I know he was dealing with COVID, and he's got young children, and the whole leaving of the Blackhawks thing, I got to imagine it's a bit of all of that. But we'll find out. Maybe down the road we will hear from Corey Crawford. But considering now, and I don't know the technicality, so he never really played with New Jersey, so does that make him a lifetime Blackhawk? I think it does, doesn't it?
I think, I mean, in my eyes, it does, right? If you never play another, if you never play a shift for another team, it makes you a lifetime Blackhawk. And I don't know if that really even matters, because I still think when it's all said and done, he's going to be remembered as one of the best Blackhawks goalies ever, and he should be. And it's kind of a shame that for a lot of this town, it took Corey Crawford leaving for them to realize how important he was to the team. And I think the other thing that illustrated his importance is after they got good, people started to realize, I'm sorry, after they, when they stopped being good is what I should say, is when people kind of realized like, oh, wait a minute. Like Corey Crawford is not just a product of a really good team in front of him. He's a really, really good goalie. And I think the other part of it was Corey Crawford didn't show up on a lot of highlight reel videos or whatever, because he's so sound positionally that he very rarely had to dive on the other side of his crease to make a spectacular glove save. He was just so well positioned that he didn't get those flashy sort of headline making saves that a lot of other goalies do. So there's a lot of reasons why Corey Crawford went underappreciated, but I think finally now, with him gone and with hockey being gone for a while, people are starting to realize how important Corey Crawford was to the franchise. And I'm sure we'll get into it, but when you look at his place in the meaningful statistic categories, he is one of the best goalies in franchise history and a franchise loaded with really, really good goalies.
Yep. Yeah, his 260 career wins, third most in franchise history, 52 postseason wins, most in franchise history, multiple Stanley Cups. And I remember, and you go back this far too with the score, during the ascension and then the first cup run and then, you know, the years that followed, I mean, it was not a smooth path for Corey Crawford. I mean, Antti Niemi was here, Cristobal Huue was here, Ray Emery was here. It wasn't always, oh, Corey Crawford's our goalie. I mean, he really had to work for that.
Yeah, he was always sort of in the background, and I think it took the organization some time to really fully gain trust in him as well. And that's kind of the benefit of, you know, when you're a good team, growing into a dominant team, you have the luxury of developing a guy properly, right? You don't have to rush somebody up. You don't have to get him in the organization sooner than you would have hoped. And that's what they were able to do with Corey Crawford, is they really were able to take their time. Don't forget Marty Turco. Don't forget Nikolai Habibulin. Like, all these guys that the Hawks brought in to sort of bridge that gap from when Crawford was drafted until he was ready. And then Niemi leaves. Crawford steps in, not right away, but took the reins pretty quickly and held it down until basically they traded for until they signed Robin Lehner. Then those two split time. And then when he was gone, Crawford just played every game from there on out. So, you mentioned a lot of the categories he leads in. When you look at some of the individual stats too, save percentage, he's second only to Scott Darling in franchise history. And Scott Darling, when you look at the sample size, Crawford played way more games than Scott Darling did. Goals against average, he's third behind Charlie Gardner, who played in the era of, you know, they were using a ball of twine and popsicle sticks. Right. And again, Scott Darling, but there's Corey Crawford, number three. So the things that are, you know, the counting stats are one thing. Wins, playoff wins, those can all be assigned to being on really good teams. But even when you dig into the individual goalie numbers, he's right there at the top. And, when this was announced, I was in the car with my wife and we were discussing, you know, it feels like that's a number that should probably be retired. Just based on everything he's accomplished. And when you compare it to what the other goalies with their names up there, look, Tony Esposito is the best goalie in franchise history. There's not really much argument there, but you can put Crawford up against pretty much anybody else in the franchise's history and have a pretty solid argument. So, I think 50 is going to be up there someday. And I don't know if they're just going to do these like all at once. Taze, Kane, Crawford, you know, Keith's got to go up there for sure. You can make an argument for Seabrook. You can make an argument for Hossa. You can make an argument for Sharp. Like there's, and that's a discussion for another day. But there's so many numbers that can go up from this dynasty. But sort of the way I see it is, you do it for you or you retire the numbers of the guys who you home grew. So Taves, Kane, Keith, Seabrook, Crawford. That to me makes the most sense. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day.
No, I get exactly what you're saying. Jay Zawoski is our guest. He is our Score Blackhawks insider, executive producer for the Bernstein and Rahimi show. You find him on Twitter at Jay Zawoski 670. And that's kind of what I think of this as. And this is, we will get back to Bears at the top of the hour. A quick Bears discussion of Corey Crawford's legacy here in town with the Blackhawks as Crow announced his retirement yesterday. I think you hit it on the head because I think this era, whatever you want to call it, 2008 through, you know, whenever you want to, you know, cap that. And I know it certainly looks like the Hawks are heading towards the old reshuffling or rebuilding or whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
But the dynasty, you called it right. The Blackhawks dynasty, you know, this group, the guys you just rattled off will be remembered, including Corey Crawford. Kind of like the Hawks version of the 85 Bears, right? And, you know, hopefully it does not take the Blackhawks that long to get back to championship contention and to get back to winning Stanley Cup titles. But absent that, I mean, this is going to be the glory days of the Blackhawks, and I think you're right. I think a lot of these numbers, including Crow's, winds up in the rafters.
Well, look, you have your entire history of the Blackhawks before 2010 equaling three Stanley Cups. So 1926 to 2010, they won, or to 2009, they won three, and then from 2010 to 2015, they won three more. So, yes, that is, I mean, by the very definition, the glory days. Now, the difference is, I think just in this era of sports, things are not as mysterious as they were back then, right? Like, a lot of stuff was word of mouth. A lot of stuff was legend. So a lot of these feats we hear about these old players, they grow over time, and they become more like, well, Bobby Hull shot a puck through three boards and, you know, killed an Andy Franish. Like, these things just become, these legends grow over time. And that's why some of these names are like, well, you know, I could hear there's probably a certain generation in their car listening to me like, oh, there's no way Corey Crawford's better than Glenn Hall. Well, maybe there is, right? Like, yeah, he played without a mask and all those things, but look at the numbers, look at the accomplishments. They're right there together. So it's going to be tough for those guys to kind of overcome the ghosts of the, you know, it's probably a bad word with the recent passing of Stan Mikita, but you know what I mean? Like, sure. The specter of these legends.
Yep.
Hanging over their heads, that are so beloved and they're so legendary. But maybe in 20, 30 years that these guys will be just as legendary to our grandkids.
Well, I think they will, and I don't think you can undersell the – and now you are not in this group, but a lot of our listeners, and I would put myself in this group too. The Hawks had struggled for years leading up to this run, right? So this group really sucked a lot of people back into the Blackhawks fold. And certainly any kids who grew up during this era, I know my nephew is a perfect example. He's 18 years old. What sport did he grow up playing? Only hockey. Why? In part because the Blackhawks were dominating at the time, and he loves hockey. And, you know, this was a whole new thing for a lot of Chicagoans in terms of interest in the Blackhawks, and certainly this group, and certainly Corey Crawford, a huge part of that. As we let you go, Jay, and you look back at Crow's career now that it's, you know, he's called it a career. Outside of the consistency, what would you put down? What stands out in your mind as Crow's greatest accomplishment with the Blackhawks? I mean, the Cups go without saying, but where do you see him as having peaked here with the Hawks?
I think it's just the stability he provided. You know, it was just, you knew that every night you had a guy you can trust back there and was going to give you a chance to win every night. And that having that for as long as they did is part of what allowed the Hawks to be as great as they were, because it gave defensemen the confidence to say, you know what, I'm going to take a chance here. And if something goes wrong, Corey's going to bail me out. Corey's going to have my back, right? There's so much value to that. And if teams don't trust their goalies, you're going to have defensemen thinking twice, like, maybe, you know, I could go to for the scoring chance, but if for whatever reason I get caught up ice, we're screwed. Like, there's no way, you know, goalie X is going to be able to stop the puck. And I think we might get a very clear indication of that this season with the Blackhawks goaltending situation as it is, with just three total question marks competing for the starting job. So I think that having that stability cannot be oversold, because those guys know, you know, Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Oduya, and Hjalmarsson, and all those guys knew that, look, if something goes bad, I've got this guy behind me, and it's probably going to be okay.
Yep. No, and you know, certainly beloved by Blackhawks fans and by his teammates, we certainly wish Corey Crawford well in retirement, and I certainly hope we'll be hearing more from him as this kind of quiets down, you know, the news of his retirement and everything. So, Jay, thank you for jumping on. We appreciate you, and we'll be hearing from you during the week, during the show.
All right. Thanks, Espo.
Jay Zawoski, at Jay Zawoski 670 on Twitter, Score Blackhawks insider and executive producer for the Bernstein and Rahimi show. So there's our little tribute, our little Corey Crawford legacy discussion, as he calls it a career yesterday. Back to Bears, though. Jay mentioned Bears. I mentioned Bears. Mark Grody will definitely give us some Bears next. As we break down Bears and Saints, kickoff at 3:40. I have you until noon. We have the Bet Rivers Bears pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com coming up at noon. That's Hub, Patrick Manley, Olin Kreutz. We are Bears all the way till kickoff here. Bulls at 2:45, Bulls and Clippers, and then we'll have all Bears after Bulls postgame. You have Mike Esposito right here on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.